Great. I'd like to call the January 10th, 2020 telephonic meeting of the Arizona State Board of Optometry to order at 9.02 a.m. And could we do roll call, Ms. Hollins, please?
Dr. Kasagis?
Present.
Dr. Moffitt?
Present.
Dr. Lamb?
Not Dr. Lamb.
Oh, is that the wrong name? Dr. Jones?
Present.
Dr. Mastoides?
Present.
Dr. Hunter?
Present.
Mr. Evanoff, noted absent. Mona Baskin?
Present.
Margaret Whalen?
Present.
And Paula Hollins is here.
Thank you very much. Under President's report, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hunter to his first meeting. Maybe we'll meet you in February. And thank you all for joining the telephonic meeting. When Margaret called and said that we only had this on the agenda, I assumed it would be faster and easier for the out-of-town members to just do this telephonically. So thank you for finding time to do this. And
absolutely.
I will move on to item D, review, discussion, and possible action on investigative review and complaints. And number one is Stuart Adams, OD, IR number 202009. Would someone like to summarize that, please?
I can. So patient LP was scheduled for a five-month follow-up cataract post-operative visit with Dr. Adams. Patient's husband accessed her caregiver. He received a call from one of Dr. Adams' staff members the day prior to the visit saying that Medicare had the patient listed as ineligible as she was currently receiving home health care and that they would be responsible for an out-of-pocket expense if they were to attend the visit. The patient's husband was encouraged to call Medicare and did so. With that call, found out that she could be seen, but he didn't call the practice back, and he subsequently sent a letter explaining that he had contacted Medicare, but also expressed an interest in changing providers at that point. His concern was one that Dr. Adams hadn't fulfilled his post-operative duties, and just two, that his staff had misrepresented him.
Thank you very much. So we can have some discussion, is there a motion?
I see no evidence of a violation of the Optometric Practice Act.
Okay, is there a second?
I move there is no, yeah.
Right. Are you moving to dismiss, Dr. Moffitt?
Yes, I was moving to dismiss.
Is there a second?
Second. This is Dr. Jones.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. We can have discussion. I would agree. I think there was we all know what it's like to work with Medicare sometimes, and I think there was a breakdown in communication more than anything else. I'm sure Dr. Adams would have been happy to see her had he known what was going on, and I think he actually expressed that he would still like to see them, but whether that's too much, there's too much water under the bridge or not, I don't know, but I would agree that I don't think there's a violation of the of any statutes. Anyone else have any comments? Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, we'll do a roll call vote on the motion. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Hunter?
I work with Barnett Delaney Prison Psych Center too. I'm not sure if this would be a conflict I should probably avoid.
Okay.
I would agree that we can. Ms. Baskin, can he recuse himself from this?
Yes, Dr. Hunter. In the future, if you do find that there's a matter that you need to recuse yourself on, please do it prior to consideration of it. And when we are in a board meeting,
okay,
then you would step away from the table. Thank you.
That was Ms. Baskin, our court counsel.
Great. Thanks for bringing that up. Dr. Mastoides?
Aye.
I also vote aye, so it's unanimous with one recusing.
Thank you.
Item number two, Jason Moulton, OD, IR number 202010. Someone like to?
I can do this one. This is Dr. Jones. It looks like the mother of the patient who saw Dr. Moulton wrote in a complaint saying that basically that she did not give consent for the aunt to take the daughters to the appointment. And she wanted copies of the consent forms, and it looks like the aunt was granted custody in May 2017. And these both of these appointments, it looked like, was in 2015 and 2016.
Yeah. it's kind of different. Would you like to make a motion on how to proceed? Then we can have discussion.
I make a motion that this does not violate the Optometric Practice Act.
And therefore you would?
Therefore I would dismiss.
Thank you.
This complaint.
Thank you.
Is there a second? I'll second it. So we have a motion and a second, so that way we can now have discussion. Since there were no seconds, I'm assuming there is some discussion to come of this.
I had a couple of concerns. This is Dr. Moffitt. It seems the doctor, Dr. Moulton, did know that he was speaking with the aunt and uncle, and that the child's guardian had not necessarily provided consent, which... you know, I do think you have to make sure that you have consent by their parent or guardian. And maybe it was assumed in this case, but obviously it wasn't provided. And in addition, with multiple exams with both girls, he never dilated either of the girls, even though one was obviously very hyperopic. So I felt like maybe a letter of concern was at least due for those two reasons.
So if I may break in at this point, and I guess I'll ask Margaret and Ms. Baskin this, that when we see something like this, because I too have a problem with the examinations, if we are to go through this and talk about the complaint and we don't see a violation of statute or violation of the Optometric Practice Act with what the complaint is, but we see a problem with the record keeping, are there two separate things we can do? Can we dismiss based on that, or do we have to, you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Yes.
Can we treat them as two separate things?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, you would actually just, because you have received the records as part of the complaint, even though the initial complaint was not for the record keeping, the board can simply make a decision based on whatever they find. So if there's no findings on the initial complaint of the guardianship issue, it would just be set aside in the action that you take. So if you do issue a letter of concern for record keeping, that would be the final disposition of the complaint.
Okay.
And it would be thereby resolved.
So in essence, it would be in this same motion.
Right.
We would just have two. Okay. So we.
You don't need to dismiss the other portion. You would just make whatever motion you're making.
Okay. So because what I was going to say was going back to the initial point of the complaint, I don't know. I mean, on paper, yeah, it sounds, yes, we should have consent of a parent to see a child, but I don't know how many times I've had other people bring people, I mean, especially grandmothers or grandparents that bring kids in and I assume they have, but this could very easily happen with a grandparent too, where I assume they have permission to do it. Otherwise, why would they be there? And I'm not doing brain surgery. If they're there for an eye exam and someone, an adult, is bringing them and they signed a paper saying that they're responsible for them, I don't know if I would have caught this, to be honest.
If the board feels that the doctor acted in good faith based on the information that he had, I think that's clear.
Right. That's the point I was going to make the letter of the law would say, yeah, we need to have consent, but how often do we see people that, I mean, I don't, I'd ask a grandparent if indeed she could she show me that she's allowed to do this, and call the mother and ask if it's okay. I don't know.
Yeah,
any other
I agree.
Discussion on that?
No, I agree with that also. I mean, you know, I think he acted in good faith. I think, you know, when you put the dilating drops in, I think that's an extra step, you know, that could have gotten him in trouble without consent, because you are administering, you know, a medication. But I mean, I do agree that he should have dilated, but.
Yeah. Yeah, so if we're going to continue along that route, a lot of this appeared to be just things that could get put into a file, you know, the boilerplate stuff. And if someone is a, you know, a 3-diopter, quote-unquote, ESO-4, you know, eight prism diopters at the distance and 6 prism diopters up close, ESO-4-ic, but they're 3-diopters, wouldn't you think maybe there might be more hidden there somewhere?
Yeah.
and dilate them to a cycloplegic, because all of a sudden they come back 2 years later and they had esotropia surgery? I mean, it just struck me as funny that no dilations were done on any of them, especially the one that he considered an amblyope. So I have concern about that too.
Dr. Mestors, I have a question. It kind of feels like the complaint is trying to get ammo against the sister in court. Do you guys feel that that's kind of what she's aiming at here?
Yeah, towards the end.
The board can't really determine that, Dr. Jones.
Mm-hmm. That was
Mike. Oh, Dr. Moffitt, I'm so sorry. You sound very similar, excuse me. I mean, that may be true, but it's not really in our purview, so it's not something we can really.
Right, and if because on there she says I would like copies of the consent form for use in court. Well, we wouldn't be able to give her those anyway. She would have to get those, I guess, her attorney or the court would have to get those from the doctor. We wouldn't supply those anyway, would we?
No.
Yeah.
Mr. President, members of the board, based on the discussion, and you do have a motion to dismiss on the table, but if you wanted to just gain further information from the doctor without moving to informal, you could continue the case and direct staff to ask some questions of the doctor for further response. Like, I can ask for a further written response from the doctor if you want to take that route, or you can still move it to informal interview if you want to do that. But you
further response
to,
as to
whatever your issues are with the treatment of the patients.
I think it's appropriate to dismiss as long as we can still issue a letter of concern, just that the girls were never cycloplegic, never dilated, and that, you know, although he acted in good faith, he did also administer care without the consent of the guardian. And so I think we should maybe comment on it, but dismiss overall.
Okay. Those are
sense.
Two separate actions, though.
Right.
You either dismiss or you issue a letter of concern, but you can't do both.
Right. This is Mona Baskin.
That's why.
Okay.
Regarding the standard of care and the dilation and the possibly whether or not he should have, I mean, I guess your letter of concern would be regarding concern that he either failed to perform and document a dilation based on their ocular health or measurements that they presented at that time. That is one way that you could go. As far as the consent, it appears, based on your discussion, is that he had obtained the requisite consent from the aunt and had no reason to believe that there was anything erroneous and wrong with that. So I think that's the way the board would need to look at it. And you do presently have a motion to dismiss before you.
Right. So basically what we would do, if indeed we feel that, or if indeed you as a board member feel that, which is what it sounds like, that we're willing to, you know, we think he acted in good faith as far as what the complaint was, but there was a problem with the record keeping, we would in essence, I can't tell people how to vote, but we would not vote for the dismissal. And we would have a new motion saying that we want to issue a letter of concern for record keeping. in order to do that. Now, something I was thinking about after Dr. Mastoris' question is, now, if we do that, is that then going to give her legal ammo to go after him for doing some type of a bad exam, or it didn't give her the standard of care, which I guess if that's what she decides to do, we can't do anything about it. If we feel that that's the best way to adjudicate this case, that's just something that came across when I was thinking about it.
Yeah. This is Dr. Jones. You know, in the notes, it says dilation deferred. It doesn't say like the patient, you know, guardian or whatever, whoever deferred, or he deferred. And so I think that's where it's kind of like questionable.
Well, yeah, the other questionable thing is, again, a lot of it's boilerplate, because in posterior exam, it says health and peripheral structures are clear. You didn't dilate. How do you know they were clear?
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't dilate, if I choose not to dilate someone, or a patient says they don't want dilated and they sign a form that says they don't dilate it, I take that out, only because I don't want people to see that, because I didn't look in the periphery. So that tells me that it was just brought down from prior exams, and it's what comes down with everything on the EIR.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
I kind of have a question. Do we have to dismiss or vote on the current motion and then open a new motion to extend the letter? Is that
that's what I was saying. We have to, in essence, vote no on this to... Because we don't want to dismiss.
Right.
Dr. Kasagas, we have to let the board vote, not vote no, but we have to we have to let the board make
like
a decision.
Yeah. Okay. I'm prepared to vote.
Right.
Okay. Is there any further discussion before we do that? Okay. Hearing none, we are going to vote on the motion to dismiss. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoris?
Aye.
And myself, I vote no. But it's 4-1. We will dismiss this as a lack of violation of the Optometric Practice Act.
I understand. Now can I move to open up?
We dismissed.
We dismissed the case.
Oh, we completely dismissed it. So I misunderstood. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Whoever was voting no, I said, okay, they either didn't understand me or they want to dismiss it. So that's why...
I thought we had to vote.
No, we had to vote.
That was in place.
We had to vote.
Also...
Yeah. We had to vote, but it was to vote it down so we could then bring up another motion. And so... I have no idea how this works, Ms. Baskin, but since we voted, is it done?
Stand by.
I need a pause to figure out how to respond, because I'm unclear on what the confusion is. I mean, we had a motion and a second to dismiss the complaint and the information that you had before you. So... And we've had prior discussion that we weren't going to bifurcate those, that they were going to be dealt with as a whole. So,
right.
I guess you could have a motion to rescind your motion to dismiss, and
I mean,
come up with something else.
The way it is now, I don't have a problem with it, only because the essence was we didn't feel there was a violation based on what the complaint was, but there was more of a question of record keeping, and so if it goes, I would much rather it go down this way than, let's say, the opposite way, where we found him in violation of what the complaint was. I guess what I'm saying is, if it's going to be a problem, I can live with it the way it is. I'm not going to, you know, lose sleep over it.
Well, it's your call, Mr. President.
Okay.
It's just, I think the confusion. Go ahead.
Pardon?
Can we send a letter just telling him it was dismissed, but we feel blah, blah, blah?
No, that would have had to be done in a motion.
He can listen to the minutes. This is Mona Baskin. He can certainly listen to the minutes and hear the board's discussion.
Hey. Can we put that in the letter to dismiss? By the way. There's some nice tidbits in there you might want to hear.
I mean, I think that the letter does advise the licensee that the board at the regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Optometry considered the matter and voted to dismiss the complaint. The audio recording is on the websites for you to review the board's discussion of this matter. I believe that Ms. Whalen advises the licensees of that in the letter anyway, so that would be in there for them to do.
Do you, Margaret?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone have a problem with that, rather than going back and trying to, I don't even know how that would all go into the minutes, to go back and change all that stuff, but, I mean, again, it's not like, because there have been times in the past on the board where we did, for lack of a better term, there was something that was overlooked, and it was a bigger thing. It was a bigger problem that we should have done, where this is more of a letter of concern about record keeping. I don't have a problem moving on, unless someone really does. No? Then we will move on.
No.
Okay, thank you. Item E, Executive Director approval of new license applications pursuant to ARS 32-3123. Ms. Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just for the record, in item E3, those are the 7 applications that were approved between the November 8th board meeting and today's board meeting under that law.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, item F, review, discussion, and possible action on pending endorsement applications. Before you start, I guess my question would be, why?
Mr. President, members of the board, this had a disclosure on the application of arrest of the doctor.
Right.
Did you see the documentation that was attached?
I did.
Okay.
And so my question with that is that if that is there, are you bringing it to our attention because you have to or because you thought we should know about it?
I'm required to.
If you know what I mean.
Under the under that 32-3123, the directors are not permitted to approve anything that's not a clean application.
Okay.
Right.
So if there's anything that makes it
out of
not
the
clean, then you bring
right.
it on. Okay.
Right.
Good.
So the board
okay.
is obligated to approve this particular application.
Right. And so as far as what I read, even though we're not given a lot of of information about it, nothing was done, correct? I mean, it was the charges were dropped?
Right. Dr. Chrysagas, members of the board, this is Mona Baskin. From my review of the materials, although, this is brought before you because, again, there was a positive response on one of your good moral character questions on the application. The doctor did disclose this remote arrest, and from my review of the materials, it was more of a diversionary program that the individual and that the doctor entered into, and the matter was the charges were dismissed. But the doctor did affirmatively disclose and correctly did disclose on the application.
Right.
So that answers your prior question, and then the state of what happened with the offense.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. So, Margaret, based on what you saw, I mean, and things we've done in the past, you wouldn't have a problem with us. I mean, you're in favor of approving this.
I didn't see any reason that the board right. would not consider this application.
Did anyone else see anything in what they read?
No.
Okay. So are we going to vote on this the way we used to, or
yes.
do we just tell you to go ahead and approve it?
Nope, you would need to approve it the normal. We need a motion and a second, and then the vote,
okay.
please, Mr. President.
Okay, could I have a motion, please?
I move to approve Emily Marsh as a applicant or as an optometrist in the state of Arizona.
And is there a second?
I second.
There we go.
Dr. Moffitt
seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote on this. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoris?
Aye.
And I vote aye. It's unanimous. excuse me. Item G, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of continuing education. And it is for optic neuritis. And was that going to be in Tucson? I can't remember. I think it was.
It is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Any comments on this? I thought it looked okay. I mean, I thought it looked, I mean, they had the complete PowerPoint in there. I don't know if I can, if it looked like it was 2 hours worth, but it seemed to be pretty complete to me. Any other comments about it?
I thought everything looked good also. I'll say that the portion from Dr. Bixman, the optic neuritis, was nothing more than an outline of questions. So I thought that was lacking, but everything else, the rest of the presenters, everything looked great. So that was my only comment.
Is it enough of a deterrent to okaying the 2 hours of continuing education?
Not to me.
Okay. Anyone else have any discussion on this? If I hear none, I need a motion, though.
I move to accept this as continuing education.
Okay.
2 hours of continuing education.
Okay. I did discussion before the motion, but it's okay with this case. We'll vote on this. So the motion is to accept this for 2 hours of CE in the state of Arizona. Dr. Jones?
Dr. Jones, aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoris?
Aye.
I also vote aye. It's unanimous.
Mr. President, who seconded that motion, please?
Dr. Jones.
Thank you.
And Dr. Hunter, as you will learn to appreciate, we're now to the highlight of every meeting, the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. As of November 30th, budget update. As of November 30th, 2019, we had a beginning cash balance of $351,077. Our ending cash balance was $341,195. As of November 30th, 41.67% of the fiscal year has elapsed. Our spending is at 46.43%. That is due to me paying the rent in full, which is $13,900. And also our accounting and payroll services through Central Services Bureau, that's $17,000. So that's why our spending is more than our fiscal year. Legislative update, I just wanted to inform the board, we're getting ready for the next session. It does kick off on Monday, and I haven't seen any bills. Nothing, of course, is showing yet. We were informed that, you know, there may be some consolidation bills for the boards once again this session. So, of course, I'll be doing some legislative updates as usual until about May or June. So keep your eyes peeled for those. Are there any future agenda items that anyone would like to see in the next meeting or the meeting after?
I have a kind of a question along that line. We were going to do kind of like a training session, I thought. I think Mona mentioned this in the past for the new board members.
Yes.
Yes.
Do we have that scheduled?
Yes. We wanted to go. Hi, this is Mona Baskin. We do want to go forward with that, but we did not think that it would be appropriate for like the telephonic meeting. So at the next regularly scheduled meeting, we could do that. We can also, I can also meet one-on-one with the new board members if they wished, and we could have a session where we could get together at either the board offices or my office, which is just down the street, and have some one-on-one training where I could give you like a general board overview, and then there could be a question and answers, and we can do that.
Mona, I don't have a problem with the with either way. I just think since half of the new board members are, if we consider Dr. Jones a new board member, half of them are from out of town, so I don't know if they'd want to come back to do
right.
Unless you did an individual meeting with them after one of our meetings where we all didn't have to be there, but I don't have a problem doing it at a meeting either. The only thing we have to remember, under item 7, future board meeting dates. We do have an informal in February, though. So whether you want to do it at the end of a meeting that has a normal agenda plus an informal or not. But it's something that should get done, only because I just think it's for new board members, it's worth hearing, because it just lets us know what it is we're trying to do and why sometimes our hands are tied because we're legislated.
Right, and also it is required under the statute. We had that new statute passed that requires board members to have a certain amount of education. So, and I could certainly meet telephonically. Margaret and I can meet telephonically and set something up before that February meeting with the new board members to do some training, and then we can have maybe some general training at that board meeting. So maybe we could do kind of both.
I think that would be
particularly if we're going to have an informal, that needs to happen probably before then. So
So why don't we figure out a time where the basically whether it's all of them or one at a time, because with a conference call you could do theoretically all of them, and if at a time where I'm free, I would. I never tire of hearing Mona talk about state board
and
activity.
I never tire discussing the law. So no, I would. The only problem is that if we have a quorum of the board, that would be a problem. So it cannot be a quorum of the board. And then the
so
next
that means Dr. Jones and I could not have to would not have to do it because we've.
Well, I mean, you definitely could. I mean, there's not a problem with that. And I believe, is the next board meeting on Valentine's Day, December 14th?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is.
I mean, February 14th. Okay.
Yeah. So are you bringing chocolate?
Well, we will definitely bring chocolate, but I will also bring us some board training. And then we can go ahead and I can communicate with those interested and set something up with Margaret and I to have some individual discussion, particularly with Dr. Hunter, because this is very brave, Dr. Hunter, to have your first meeting telephonically without speaking with us. So,
he didn't
so
have
thank
much
you
enjoy.
So much. No, thank you so much.
Well, I certainly would appreciate any and all help. So.
All right. Well, Dr. Hunter, we will be in touch, and as we will with the other board members.
Okay, so as you heard, February 14th is definitely scheduled, and I'm expecting to have the informal at that time.
Okay.
After that, I think we'll just discuss future board meetings, because that might clear out the calendar.
Good, because I can't meet in March.
Oh, okay.
Is that similar to what we did last time?
No.
It is.
Last time was a formal.
Yeah, it's a little less than that, but it has a similar process. There is a script, and it's formal in the sense of it's not the usual discussion. Dr. Chrysagas will read the script. We have the court reporter, but it's not as
there's a court
intense.
It's very similar, but you don't get to see Perry Mason come out and adjudicate the way she did, bringing out her past glory as a prosecuting attorney.
Poor Mona.
No, I'm smiling. But no, certainly, let's definitely get together. And if there's anybody that would want to stay after the board meeting, if you could let me know now, I can definitely do that also.
Or you can email me.
I'll do that. This is Dr. Moffitt, and I can stay after.
Okay. All right. Well, then, let's plan on that.
So, Dr. Jones and Dr. Mastores,
can I ask a question about the quorum?
Yes.
So if whether we're on telephonically meeting or whether we're at doing it after the board meeting, what is the problem if there is a quorum of board members? Is it a meeting that hasn't been advertised or hasn't been?
Well, I would always.
We won't let that happen.
I'm just saying, even though we're not voting on anything or doing anything.
No, we can't do it. It's a quorum of the board meeting to discuss board business, and part of board business would be board training. So. Well, I mean, I can work that out, definitely, Dr. Chrysagas, but I'll provide what, and there's so much training to go around that we can meet, we could do it in the board meeting, we can meet in little small groups, we can meet one-on-one. I mean, there's a lot that we can talk about, and it is
Let's
really interesting.
Let's do it all.
Yes, we definitely can, so.
Maybe I'll start going to those FAR meetings with you, if you have enough of those meetings.
That concludes my director's report, Mr. President.
Okay, thank you. See, I told you it was the highlight of the meeting. So, item I, call to the public. Is there any public member listening in on this that would like to make a comment? I didn't think so. I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Please.
I move to adjourn, Ms. Dr. Moffitt.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second. This is Dr. Jones.
Good. All those in favor can just say aye.
Aye.
And so this meeting is adjourned at 9:37. Thank you very much. We'll see you all in a month.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.